Good morning, everybody. It's a happy new year to you all from my family and myself. I'll just say a little prayer and then I'll tell you a bit more about what I'm going to speak on. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being back together in this fellowship, Lord. Thank you for my opportunity to be here, and I pray that what I've prepared, Lord, you'll reinterpret to our hearts and minds and wills for this coming week, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I love Piers' telling of that story, which I know very well, probably like a lot of us, but I never thought about them having to lean through the roof. Sort of have that great picture in my mind of these men straining to lower down and all the chaos of it and the dust and all the mess, you know, spirituality amongst the mess. That appeals to me because that sort of sums up my life, really, and our family. We've so far had two interesting happenings this new year. Just as the weather's turned cold, the heater in our car has died. So that's going to be fun. Not fazed, is he? And I bet he must have seen that expression of faith in these sweating, straining men as they wrecked that house and lowered the guy through the roof. Jesus must have thought, gosh, they really, really want to see me. They really want to bring their friend to me. And I suppose that's often how we express our faith, isn't it? Not in all the right words and all the right ways, but we do things to try and help people and make a difference and care, don't we, really? So I've called this morning's talk... get up there, Raging Grace. I used to do a blog on the internet for a few years, and absolutely nobody took any notice of it. So I thought, after a while, oh, I could turn it into a book, which I did. And I wanted a title which summed up a little bit of what I'm going to think about this morning, really. We heard that Psalm 93, which talks about the awesome nature of God, which is way beyond our comprehension, really. But also then we hear that story about Jesus, and we're going to see another one where suddenly this is a God who is totally accessible, totally right there in our everyday lives. So the kind of grace, but also the powerful, and I wanted it to sound a bit shocking, which is why I called it Raging Grace, you know, this God, it was huge. And sometimes, you know, the Psalms talk about the sea, and they feared, the people of the writers of the Bible, they feared the sea, as we sometimes do, because they couldn't control the sea. And there is that sense, you know, we cannot control this God, can we? We can't reduce him down. So I think I've got here, oh, this nice little quote from, this is from the film version of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Have you ever seen this? I think it also comes out of the book. The beavers say to the children who've never heard of Aslan, Aslan represents God. And Mr. Beaver says, they say, is he safe? And Mr. Beaver, as you can see, says, safe? You say anything about safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And that's, I love that way of talking about God, really. You know, in one sense, he isn't safe. Another sense, he is. Jesus brings, you know, is God coming to us in a way that we can feel safe with. But ultimately, he's beyond that, isn't he? But he is good. This is the God who is good. And we're all learning what it means to live with that God in our lives, really. So, I've got a, that's the psalm. I was looking for something which summed up. In fact, it talks of the sea, doesn't it? There we go. The mighty oceans have roared, O Lord. The mighty oceans roar like thunder. And perhaps some of the people, when they heard that, they would have thought, oh, no, don't talk too much about the sea. I've had bad experiences there. Don't say God is part of that, you know, because it was frightening. But the psalmist says, no, God is part of all of that, this world which is, we can control and we can't control, you know, all these things, really. This, but God is mightier than the violent raging of the seas, you know. So this is one picture of God. This is one part of God that the Bible brings to us a lot, you know. And one of the things I really like about the Psalms is they've got these very poetic images when you think about them. We can sometimes race through them or perhaps not even read some of them. But they're really vibrant images, aren't they? If you get a chance in the next week, you know, go and look at the sea, you know, especially if it's on a stormy day. And think of a psalm like this, you know, and the way that the writers say, you know, but God is bigger than the power of that sea. God is, you know, he made it. He's beyond it, really. But anyway, so that's one side I want to think about, this nature of this God. And I've got another story from the Gospels. We heard that one about the healing of the man, the lame man. And I'm going to think a little bit about one of the people Jesus called. which was shocking in what he did. But before that, I've got a little video to show you. We'll see how this one goes. And I won't tell you anything about it. Just you might have seen it before anyway. It's quite old. But have a look at this for a moment. This talk is sponsored by T-Mobile. I don't know if everyone got it. Did everyone see what they actually got when they thought they were getting a parking ticket? You didn't. Did anyone see what they got? What did they get, Piers? Yeah, they got a £10 note. They all got a £10 note. It's quite quick, and you have to look closely in. But that was a complete turnaround. I've sometimes used that on Easter morning, Easter Sunday morning, because that was the nature of what was going on Easter Sunday morning. Suddenly, it didn't go the way they thought. But I don't know if anyone's had a parking ticket lately, or if is there any traffic wardens here in this morning? Nope? Okay. That's okay. I had a contingency plan if there were. But really, I wanted to show that. I mean, I do love the way it twists around, and everyone gets free money. You notice, you see, when one of the wardens says, it's only money, to one of the people, what he means is, I'm only giving you money. But they don't know that. They think, I'm going to have to pay money, you know, and it gets reversed. But one thing about traffic wardens is, I guess it's not an easy life, is it? They get a lot of stick from people. We all, I don't know about you, but I double check when I park in car parks these days, have I made sure my ticket is visible? We've been caught out before buying a ticket and it's not visible, and then you have to pay the fine and all those kind of things. So, you know, it's a tough life, isn't it, being a traffic warden? And Jesus didn't, in the Gospels, call a traffic warden, but he did call someone who would have got a lot of stick from a lot of people. And we know him as Levi or Matthew. Could be two different characters, actually. But we tend to think of him as the same. And this is where I want to think about the grace aspect of Jesus, really. I've put at the top there John 3:16, but which we all know very well, most of us, you know, about Jesus coming into the world not to judge, not to condemn. And this is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, their God was a God who was very tough on rules. And Jesus came and he challenged all of that, as we've heard already. But I'll read you this little bit here from Mark chapter 2. That night, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guests, along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. There were many people of this kind among the crowds that followed Jesus, many of those kind of people. But when some of the teachers of religious law who were Pharisees saw him eating with people like that, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" Strong words. When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call sinners, not those who think they're already good enough." And in Matthew's telling of that story, he mentions that Jesus quotes from Hosea that I've put at the bottom. And Jesus says to those who think they know all about God and have got all the rules right, He says this to them, I want you to be merciful. I don't want your sacrifices. And that's from Hosea. And the full quote goes on to say, I want you to know God. That's more important than your burnt offerings. That's a big challenge to those people because their business, their life is all around those sacrifices and burnt offerings. And here's Jesus. In the Good News version that I sometimes read, Jesus says, I want you to be kind. That's what's much more important than sacrifices is to be kind, to bring kindness to other people. And this is what Jesus is demonstrating. Now, what's happened is we call Levi a tax collector, but he's probably more like a toll booth keeper because the kingdom or the country was divided between three sons of Herod. And where you crossed over from one territory of one son into another, you had to pay a toll. And it was extortionate. It was way beyond anything reasonable, really. I used to live and work at Lee Abbey, and there's a toll on that road that goes through the estate, and I think it's probably £2 now. It was a pound back then. But I used to say to people, imagine if you had to pay 50 quid every time you went down that road, not just in a car, but on foot. I mean, that's probably more than they were charging, but it was an unfair thing. It was like the traffic warden thing. People would get angry. You know, Matthew or Levi, he was a Jew, but he was working for the Romans, taking all this money and for Herod, you know, off the people that he was a part of. So he would have got a lot of abuse. He would have got a lot of stick. He was not popular. And that might have gone deep with him. He expected people to take it out on him and to be horrible to him. That's the way people were with him. And then one day Jesus comes along and is completely different. Doesn't at all argue with him about the toll or say, how can you be working for the Romans? Instead, he sees something in Matthew and he says, do you want to start again? Do you want to make a new beginning? Because I think you're someone who's ready to do that, you know. And he sees that. He may have seen Matthew quite often. He may have gone through that toll gate quite a lot and slowly begun to sort of see in Matthew that there was change was possible. Just to bring home a little bit of the nature. There we go. Of the challenge, in a way, of the people that Jesus brings his grace to. I'm only going to show you a little bit of this because it's a bit overwhelming on a Sunday morning. I don't think anyone will recognise this band, but they're called the Dropkick Murphys. And they're an Irish punk band. And on YouTube, you can find them doing a version of Amazing Grace. And they do it in a beery, sweaty hall full of young punks. And I love it because to me it reminds me that God's grace is at work in all kinds of places. I'll show you a little bit of it. I think I better turn the volume down a little bit so I don't blow you away with it. Let's see if it plays all right. Amazing grace, sing along with me, will you? Stop that there before it blows you away. But it's a contradiction, isn't it? You know, I'm so used to hearing Amazing Grace sung in either a church or a home group or some sort of, you know, Christian event. And suddenly here we find it's let loose amongst these people who probably most of them haven't been to church lately, but they might have been, I don't know. When he starts off, the guy, the lead singer, actually dedicates it to his mum and dad who were there in a concert that day. And he says he wants to sing it for them. And I thought that was an interesting moment of grace because here's this tough guy, you know, saying, actually, my mum and dad are here and I want to do a hymn for them. And this is what we're talking about with Jesus, isn't it? Do you remember in the passage it said quite a few of these kind of people follow Jesus around? And, you know, he was constantly reaching out, reaching beyond what the Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders and scribes saw as being the acceptable world of God. he constantly was reaching out. I mean, even like Piers was mentioning the centurion, the Roman soldier who built the synagogue. Well, he was a Roman. You don't want to help the Romans. The Romans crucify people. The Romans are brutal. The Romans are terrible. They invented the word decimation, didn't they? Which just to put it very quickly, because it's a bit brutal. But if a squad of soldiers refused to fight in battle, ran away, then every tenth man was beaten to death by all the other soldiers. That's decimation. You know, that's what the Roman soldiers gave you. That's what they invented. And Jesus comes along in several places. Romans get helped. Romans get the grace of God. This is unheard of, surely. This is shocking. And again, we're reminded this is the Jesus who crosses over, brings his grace into the places we may not expect to find them, really. This raging, amazing grace. Anyone recognize this? What is it, Harrison? Do you remember what it's called? Brilliant. Absolutely bang on. Yes. Do you have any idea how much they sold it for? Can you remember? It's a lot of money. It was $450 million. Did you hear about this news? I think it's called Salvator Mundi, which means Savior of the World, I believe. Apparently, not too long ago, like about 60 years ago, it was sold for $45. I don't know what that is. What's that inflation? That's beyond my calculations. I don't know what that inflation is. But when I heard that, I couldn't believe it. I really thought a painting with all the troubles in the world and all the people that are struggling, even in our own country, $450 million for a picture. And then there was a little article. I don't read The Guardian very much, but occasionally people tell me about things, and I looked it up. I think there was a clergyman writing in The Guardian, basically said, guess what, you can have the real thing for free. That's something, isn't it? You don't have to hang him on your wall. The real thing in your life for free. Which, again, is what these people are discovering. You know, the people who were helping their paralyzed friend. And what Matthew discovers is that he doesn't have to have the right credentials. He doesn't have to look the right way or dress the right way or say the right words even. He just has to begin following, you know, begin reaching out, or in fact responding to Jesus, reaching out to him, really. This amazing grace that breaks into our lives. I just want to tell you one little story, really, and then I'll show you a final clip. I always find it difficult to tell this story, so I apologize now because it'll probably move me, really. But it's a true story, as far as I know. I don't think I've told it here, but apologies if I have. There's a speaker called J. John, and this was something that he did. And what happened was, there was a group of girls, teenage girls, who were part of a youth group. And one of the girls was becoming more and more withdrawn, and more just, you know, just not communicating and switching off and everything. And this group of girls, they go along to hear J. John as part of a youth event. And J. John, at one point, holds up a £50 note. And he says, I'm going to give this away tonight to somebody here. Because I want to, you know, show you something. And he looks around. And he sees this girl and he picks her out. And it's this girl who's been becoming more and more withdrawn. And she goes at the front, and he takes his £50 note, and he screws it up in his hands, and he throws it on the floor, and he puts his foot on it, his shoe, and he scrunches it into the ground. And so he really grinds it down, picks it up, and he holds it up, and he straightens it out. He says, that is still worth £50. Doesn't matter what I've done to it. And he gave it to the girl. And he said, that's yours. And he said, you know, it doesn't matter what's happened to us. We are still as valuable to God. We're still as precious to him. And he said, thank you very much. He gave it to the girl, and she walked back to her friends. And afterwards, she told one of her friends, at least, what had happened to her. She had paid a boy £50 to have sex with her. Jae-chun had no idea that that happened. But God knew. And I guess he did several things for her that night. He showed her that she was still precious. It didn't matter what happened to her, that she was still valuable, totally. And he gave her back her dignity. And he gave her back what she had given away to that boy. And I mean, words aren't enough probably to sum up what happened to her that night, what God did through his amazing grace. But that's why I love that story, and I find it so moving, because we read where Jesus says, you know, it's kindness that matters, it's mercy that matters. And then you hear a story like that, and you know that's really true. And I haven't got £50, sorry, to give away. But that's a story that we all of us need to keep breaking into our lives, don't we? Because people mistreat us. Work or unemployment or loss, you know, we all suffer these things in our lives. And what I like about the Bible is it's honest about that. You know, you'll find psalms of great joy, and you'll find psalms, I was just reading one this morning, psalms where people are so lonely and lost and saying, God, what is going on? Because it feels like you're against me, you know. And the Bible's so honest that we all of us find ourselves in these places. And we desperately need the grace of God and the kindness of Jesus to keep breaking in like that girl had in her life, really. So I just wanted to close by showing you one other clip. It's from Narnia, from the Prince Caspian film. But I think it's a lovely moment where you see, very quickly, in an instant, two sides of Aslan. Lucy is the character you're going to see. She's trying to escape from her enemies. It's towards the end of this film. And the bad guys are chasing her. And more or less for the first time in this film, really, you see Aslan, who, as I say, represents God. You see him for the first time quite clearly. And this is what happens. Let's turn up a little bit. It's going to play.
What will happen is another matter entirely.
And you'll help?
Of course, as will you.
Oh, when was Hal's braver?
If you were any braver, you would be everywhere. Now, I think your friends have slept long enough, don't you?
Probably appropriate we finish on that roar when we're thinking about the rage and grace of God. But just, I wanted to show you that because, you know, this in a very brief period of time, You see him leap over Lucy's head and basically duff up the enemies. Quite know what happens to them. I think they go running off, so I think they're all right. But he basically scares them off, because this is the, you know, Aslan, who is a fierce lion. But when Lucy sees him, what does she do? She throws herself at him and they end up rolling around on the floor. This is the same lion that leapt at the baddie, and yet to Lucy, this is the god, or this is the lion that she knows and loves and isn't frightened of at all. I remember when I was working at Lee Abbey one time, my boss was a guy called David Rowe. And one day the phone went, and my daughter Amy, who was a lot younger then, probably about 10 or 9 or something, she didn't answer the phone very much. She's always been quite a shy person. Anyway, she picked up the phone and she was chatting away for a while, and we didn't know who it was. And then eventually she handed over the phone. She said, "Oh, it's David Rowe. And I went, "Wow, that was brave. You were talking to the warden." And she went, "Just Esther's dad." That's the thing, isn't it? Our perspective. You know, the warden, but also Esther's dad. Same person, but two sides in a way. I'll just say a prayer and then we'll sing our final song. Lord, probably some of us here this morning need to see again your power, your awesomeness in our lives, at work in our lives, leading us on, showing us the next step. And Lord, and some of us need your kindness and your grace and your gentleness. Lord, in these moments, and as we go out to this week, may we get moments when we catch sight of those things, so that we know you're present and vibrant and understanding in our lives, Lord, please. And helping us with all the chaos and the dust and the nitty-gritty things that we will have to deal with this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to sing 506, which is a great hymn of describing this God who we serve and love.